We had a short psalm and a short reading because it's a really long sermon today. Just kidding. Let us pray. Please bow your heads as we do that. Father God, we just come before your word this morning. And we might think, well, what else is there to say? But, well, Lord, there's plenty for us to hear this morning. So I just want to pray that each one of us, you would equip us this morning. Encourage us if we're in a low place. And just help us, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, beside my house, I've got these lily pillies growing. I planted this row of them. I was hoping they'd grow into a hedge. And there's five of them. One of them is not doing super well, which is surprising to me because they've all had the same care. I've given them all the same sort of attention. They're all planted at the same time. But this one, just not doing super well. It's had scale, it's had black sooty mold, and there's this other thing that it's on there, and I don't even know what that is. So this plant there, it's had a pretty tough time. And I'm a bit of a cheapskate, so I was trying a few home remedies, sprays and that I've made at home, and unfortunately nothing was working. So I bit the bullet. Someone had suggested me a particular spray. So I went out, paid the money, brought the spray back, and sure enough, it's not 100% better yet, but this plant is doing a whole lot better than what it was. And the reason I tell you this story is because whatever issue we have in our lives, whatever it is, we actually need to have the right treatment for that particular problem. You know, if it's a plant and it's pests, we need pest spray. If it's some sort of sickness, we actually need to have the right medication for it. And what I want to look at this morning is how the joy of the Lord can actually be a remedy for us in times when we are going through pain and suffering and trial. And this joy of the Lord, let me tell you this, it is such a powerful tool for us in these times that I don't want any of us to not have this for the times of suffering that we go through. So I want us to have this in our tool belt. So that's why we canned Malachi for today. We're going to keep talking about joy this morning. But if you weren't here with us last week, we actually started to talk about this particular topic. And we said, despite the fact that this is a fruit of the Holy Spirit, many people are actually curiously unfamiliar with joy. It's like a foreign language to them. So we talked about God's answer to this. What is God's answer to our lack of joy? Well, surprisingly, it's Jesus. Jesus himself is joyous. And what we found is that he actually wants to share his joy with us. He shares this with us through his love, through what he's done for us, the salvation he gives us, and also through the work of the Holy Spirit in us. So we finished by looking at what can this look like in a person's life. We looked at the Apostle Paul and we saw, hey, this is a joyful guy, even though he's in prison. So we've seen that this can work in our lives. So that was more or less what we looked at. And if you missed it, I'd encourage you to go back and have a listen to it. But there's more for us to say on this topic. And so that's what we're going to be looking at this morning. Now, obviously, we talked about the power that joy can have for us last week, but we also started to talk about some of the barriers that we actually face to it. And I think we have to be honest with ourselves about this, is that actually we do go through times in life that are exceedingly difficult, exceedingly hard for us to walk through. All of us will have seasons in our lives where it seems like no matter what we do, we just can't escape the trials. There's just sorrow around every corner. We just feel pain and suffering. When I say that, if you're like, oh, that doesn't sound familiar, trust me, you just have to live long enough and you will go through a season of your life like this. So the question is, how do we survive? How do we get through this? If we go through these times and we're like the psalmist, how long? How long, God, is this going to go on for me? I can't get through this. These things, they have the power to actually cause us to despair and give up on life. So we do want to know, How can we survive these difficult times? So what are we going to do? Well, like I said, I want to give you a battle axe this morning. We want to dig deeper into this topic of joy to see how it can actually be an antidote to the pain and the suffering that we can go through in life. And to do this, I want to actually give you a few different treatments, a few different ways that we can apply joy to the suffering that we face. Now, we could actually do a whole sermon on each one of them. So we're going to actually cover a lot of ground. And if you find something that actually, that I need to know more about that, go and look at that passage. We're going to be covering a lot, so I just want you to know that there's more out there. But hopefully you just get something today that you can use in your life. You feel equipped to face these hard times. So the first place that I wanted to look this morning is in the book of James. This is some insight that he has for us in chapter 1. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness, and let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfected and complete, lacking in nothing. So this passage here, it's fairly prominent. People know this one. And I want to tell you, it's a matter of accounting. It's a matter of our attitude towards the hardships that we go through. So obviously, James, he's not saying that your trials will be joy. If you think that, then you haven't read the verse properly. He's actually saying, count it as joy. That's a different thing. It doesn't mean that when you're going through hardships, you're going to be like, man, this is great. This is fun. I'm having such a good time. It's actually that there's something being produced in you through that hardship, which is worthy of celebration, which is worthy of praise of God. Because when you go through those hard times and you trust in the Lord, guess what happens? You get stronger. You grow. You become mature in your faith. And that is what James is saying is worth celebrating. That's a really good thing that we're becoming mature in Christ. This should bring us joy. It's not that we're sadistically being like, yes, this pain is hurting me and I like it. That's not what this passage is saying. But that's how important growing in Christ is, that we should actually be celebrating this particular thing. So that is one way for us to apply joy to suffering like it's some kind of medicine. A second principle is actually one that comes from the mouth of Jesus. And we actually see this also echoed right throughout the pages of the New Testament. So this is Jesus speaking in Matthew chapter 5. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. He's talking about suffering for the sake of Christ. This is what Paul then says in Colossians 1. I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake, and in my flesh I am filling up what is lacking in Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, that is the church. So that's Paul, and then we get Peter saying the same thing in this first epistle. Rejoice, he's talking to the church, rejoice insofar as you share Christ's sufferings, that you may also rejoice and be glad when his glory is revealed. So what this is talking about is a certain kind of suffering that we go through. And what these scriptures are all saying is that there is an incredible privilege that we find in these things. You know, we know that Jesus had to suffer and die for our sins. We're going to talk about that all next week, looking at Easter. He suffered on the cross as part of his atoning death for us. He rose again, obviously, but when he left, guess what? He actually left his mission to his followers. And just as he was persecuted, so too will those who really, truly seek to follow him. And we don't celebrate the suffering, but we celebrate the privilege that we get to suffer for the sake of doing the mission of Christ. That is an incredible privilege that he is saying, I went through this to save you, and I'm actually allowing you to feel part of what I felt when I did that. That's an incredible privilege that God gives us, some insight into what he did for us on that cross. When we comprehend this, it actually helps us to draw closer to Jesus. We rejoice we have something in common with him, that we have suffered for the sake of his name. And this is something that can give us incredible joy and hope in our lives. Now, this point now is connected with this, but it sort of stands in and of itself on its own. Something that sort of comes from the fact that Jesus suffered is that he actually knows what suffering feels like. So that means that when we suffer, he knows what we are going through because he's suffered himself. This is something that is true about our God, and this is something that we see reflected in the Psalms. This is Psalm 31, verse 7. I will rejoice, this is David speaking, and be glad in your steadfast love, because you have seen my affliction. You have known the distress of my soul. I just think this is such a beautiful and powerful verse that I've turned to many times. Even if nobody else on the face of this earth understands us or sees us, God does. He sees our pain, he sees our suffering, and he knows what we're going through. He knows our heartache. It's not just that he knows that, he's right there with us in the midst of our pain and our suffering. And this is cause for rejoicing. It's cause for gladness in the midst of our afflictions, because we have a compassionate God who is right there with us. So this is a powerful truth for us to grab hold of and to meditate on. This is another one. Now, the next thing we have is another verse that we're probably all familiar with. We've probably seen it on a coffee cup somewhere or on the front of our newsletter maybe. But maybe you don't necessarily know where it comes from. But this is from Nehemiah chapter 8. This is the whole verse. He said to them, this is Nehemiah, go your way, eat the fat and drink sweet wine, and send portions to anyone who has nothing ready. For this day is holy to our Lord, and do not be grieved, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. That's where it comes from. You know, when we think of this verse, we think of it often when we're going through difficult times. There's even songs that this verse is actually written about. And the point here is that the joy of God is actually a deep well for us to draw on, to help us to get through those times of suffering. We can go to this well and be filled up to get what we need, to get the strength that we need to get through things. Now, I just want to give you some context here. You might wonder, well, what does this look like for Israel back in this day? So you've got a people that's come back from exile, and they were trying to rebuild things, and there was lots of opposition that was happening. And these guys have gathered here to hear the law. They obviously haven't heard it for a while. And they hear this thing, and the people wept when they heard it. They wept because they realized, we have fallen so far short of this. And they had this conscious awareness of, we have sinned before God. That's what they got when they heard this law. They weren't feeling proud or justified before God. These people felt humbled and broken. And there's something valuable in being in a place of weakness like this. That's when we actually humbly turn towards God. When we can't do it ourselves, that's when we often rely and resort to going to him and asking for help. This is important for us because we see this, something the Apostle Paul says, his power is actually made perfect in our weakness. So we might be struggling with sin and unrighteousness like perhaps Israel was at the time, or we might actually be broken down and worn down by the trials that we've been going through. Either way, we're weak. And when we're weak, what is the most important thing for us to do? Reach out to the person who can help us, who is the King of Joy, who is in heaven. And when we go to him and ask for his resources and ask for his help, you're going to find strength there that you cannot find anywhere else. No person can give you that. It can only come directly from God. He is the King of Joy. And this is as another liberating truth that we find. That famous verse, the joy of the Lord is our strength. So I feel like we've got a bit of a Swiss Army knife here. There's a few things for us already. Finally, I just want us to consider something that we should do anyway, something we should always be doing, but we always find reasons not to do. You see, joy, we talked about it last week, is something that we feel, but it's not just something that we feel, it's also something that we do. Joy is a verb. I don't know if you realize this. We don't say, oh, you know, go out there, everyone, and do a joy this week. Have a joy. We don't say that. We say rejoice. It's the same word. It's the same language. This is something that we do. Beyond this, it's something that we're instructed and even commanded to do in the scriptures. And this isn't just when we feel like it or when things are going well. This is what Paul says to the Philippians. Rejoice in the Lord always. He says this in Thessalonians, which Mark read out for us before. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of Christ in the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. So we see in these verses that actually a key part of the Christian life is for us to rejoice in the Lord. That is to delight in Him, to celebrate who He is and what He's done for us. You know? And this is kind of a fueling self-cycled situation when we do this. Because when we understand what He's done for us, the incredible work of Christ on the cross saving us, it fills us with joy. And so we want to celebrate Him. We want to praise Him. And this is singing. There's so much power in singing through difficult times. But this is more than just singing. This is how we live our lives, how we serve Him, the way that we talk about God, the way that we pray. In all of these things, we can actually be rejoicing in the Lord. Now, the important thing that we cannot overlook here is that we are to rejoice always, giving thanks in all circumstances. So that means that we rejoice not just when things are going great or even just, you know, they're middle of the road. We actually rejoice when we're having times of hardship, rejoice through pain and suffering. Now, I always say this to you, I get the easy job, I get to stand up here and tell you what the scriptures say, but rejoicing in suffering is very easy to say and it's much harder to actually put into practice. But as hard as this might be for us, it's something that we cannot do without because it's so powerful. It's so powerful against those deep, dark times that we face. Because what we actually do when we rejoice is we start to resist something. I like how that sounds. Rejoicing is resisting. And I want to explain by what I mean by this. You know, sorrow, I want to say it's not a dirty word. It's actually a good thing for us to feel sorrow. That means we care. It means things were important to us. And it shows us that the world is actually not the way that it was meant to be. If someone leaves us, dies on us, we ought to feel pain and sorrow. You know, Jesus at the tomb of Lazarus, who He was going to bring back just like that, He wept at that tomb. And if we don't feel these things, then we're probably about as hard as a rock, and that's not a place that we want to be. But the caution here, the danger here is the power that sorrow can have against us, can have the power to drag us down and bring us into a place of despair, cause us to sink. So we need something that is actually an antidote to this drowning effect. And that is resisting with rejoicing. This is saying, I will not be conquered by my suffering. I will not be conquered by my pain. We just find something little and we go, thank you, God. And we praise Him for the little thing that He's done. And it's like taking a course of medicine. If you just keep finding something little to praise God for in the midst of suffering, you know you're going to get through it because you're taking the medicine, which is rejoicing in the Lord. That is how rejoicing is resisting. Now, we're nearly there this morning, but before we move on, I just want to make something else clear about this rejoicing. I've just ripped this right out of God speaking to Zephaniah, so it has its context, but the principle still stands. This is in chapter 3. It says, "Sing aloud, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O Israel. Rejoice and exult with all your heart, O daughter of Jerusalem." So obviously we get that in whatever circumstances we're in, we need to rejoice. We're getting that. But there's also another point that's made there. Think about a chore. Kids, you guys have got chores. All of us, we have jobs, mostly the rest of us, either at work or at home. We've got jobs that we need to do. We know when we're doing something half-heartedly or sloppily. We know that. And we know the difference for when we're actually putting the effort in. And God's word to his people at this time was, rejoice with all your heart. That's not half-hearted. That's earnestly, honestly seeking the Lord, putting your all into rejoicing in him. You know, if we do things with a half-hearted mentality or a ticker-box mentality, it's not going to be effective. It's not going to work in our lives. You actually wholeheartedly need to come before him in worship and praise and rejoicing him, even if we're in difficult circumstances. We can do these things religiously, as some of us can do from time to time, but we need to do them authentically. You know, I tried some home measures with my lily pillies, some half-cooked measures, and they didn't work. We need to do these things genuinely, whether it's rejoicing or any of the other things that I've actually mentioned here. But the fact is, these things can be an antidote to the threat of despair in our lives. So we want to use them. We want these tools at our disposal. Now, these things that we're talking about, they're great things for us to be able to do, to be able to use in difficult times. But I find that sometimes the understanding that we have is also really helpful. And so this final thing that I want to talk about this morning is not a thing that we specifically do, but it's something that is important, that's revolutionary for our understanding of this topic of joy. So we're just going to finish with one more, let's call it a revolutionary concept. And in order to illustrate this, I want to read to you some verses that have been taken from the prophets. And there are others that are very similar to this. I've just taken a selection. This is Isaiah chapter 62, verse 5. "For as a young man marries a young woman, so shall your sons marry you. And as the bridegroom rejoices over the bride, so shall your God rejoice over you." This is him speaking to his people. Isaiah 65:19, "I will rejoice in Jerusalem and be glad in my people. No more shall be heard in it the sound of weeping and the cry of distress." This is Zephaniah 3:17, "The Lord your God is in your midst, a mighty one who will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you by his love, and he will exult over you with loud singing." I don't know if you heard this in these verses, but this is God himself saying, "I will rejoice over you. I will rejoice and delight in my people." You know, this is the God of the universe, an infinite God, taking joy in finite creatures. This is, for me, this is something that is simply stunning about God's nature. We looked at last week how God has this joy that exists inside himself because the Father and the Son and the Spirit, they exist in this relationship of love. He has joy inside of himself that is self-satisfying, but this is a different kind of joy. This joy is actually found in us, in the good and the godly things that are happening in us. That is an incredible thing which we need to realize. We need to understand this, that God delights in his people. Now, you might be sitting there thinking, surely this can't be me. Surely God can't be happy with me. Maybe he just meant that for Israel or something. Maybe this is just for them. But no, this delight that we see God having is something that we see across the Old and the New Testament. Let's look at Luke chapter 15. Maybe you already know what's there. There's three parables that Jesus tells: the lost sheep, the lost coin, and the lost son. Each story, something goes missing and then it's found. And what happens when it's found, there is great celebration. And Jesus actually articulates the meaning of these verses, these parables in verse 7. This is what he says there. I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. So these stories, they're about people that have wandered away from God. And guess what? That is all of us. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. But through what Jesus has done for us in his death and resurrection, we are actually able to come back to him in repentance, our sins having been forgiven. In this, we get eternal life, and we literally get to go into the throne room of God. We gain access to his courts. And we walk in there. And how does God respond to us when he's looking at us face to face? We see in these verses that he is excited. He celebrates. He is joyous and takes delight in our arrival into his courts. This is something that is incredible. It reveals something of God's nature to us. He is not a vindictive God. You know, he's not letting you in by the scruff of your neck. That's not how you get in. You see, God is a God of grace. So when we come in, he is excited. He is filled with joy. He's delighted when sinners come to repentance. And I think this is something that we find hard to comprehend. We go, oh, God, he loves goodness. He loves righteousness. These things delight him. But this is a different thing. He actually delights in people. He delights in us. This is talking about you and I. It's an amazing thing that we're considering this morning. People who come to Jesus in humble repentance. God delights in us. God delights in you. Now, obviously we've talked about this a little now, but what I ask you is do you actually think about God in this way, that he delights over you? Do you believe that he takes joy in your life? That he celebrates the fact that in Christ your name is written in the book of life? Can you conceive that this is God's nature? You know, that he is excited when you get there, he celebrates. Do you believe this about God in your heart of hearts? Do you know this to be true about him? This is his nature, and it's game-changing when we come to understand this. So the real question is for us this morning, apart from if we believe this, is if you believe this, what are you going to do about it? How should we respond to this news about God's joy in us? Well, the answer is we send it back his way. That's what we do. He rejoices in us, and guess what? We just send it back. We rejoice in him. If you make worship, I don't just mean singing, I mean worship and praise, exalting God, delighting in him. If you make that the core of your life, then you will be able to get through anything, rejoicing. People will look at you and say, how does that I don't know how that person has so much joy after everything that's happened to them. How can this be? How can they be so joy-filled? Well, we've heard it this morning. We know the answer. It's because the joy of the Lord is our strength. This is how it's going to be. So as we finish this morning, what is the thing that we need to do, whether things are going terribly or terrific? It's the same. We rejoice in the Lord. You know, that's the secret of life. That's the hack that you need if you want to use new modern euphemisms. We've also got cheat code. If you want a cheat code to life, it's this. Paraphrasing the Apostle Paul, rejoice in the Lord always. And I say it again, rejoice. If you have that secret every day, nothing will bring you down. You will conquer that suffering and that pain that you're going through. Now, I often confess, and I've done it this morning already, it's easier for me to get up here and say this than it is to see this happen in our lives. So I just want to close this morning by committing this to the Lord in prayer and asking us to see this in our lives. So let's pray. Please join with me as we do that. Loving Father, some of us have walked through seasons of pain in life. Others may be unfamiliar. Others may be in that place right now and hurting hard and feeling like they're drowning a little bit. But Lord, I just want to pray for each person here that your joy would become our strength. That our salvation, the joy that you have in yourself, and that we would know these things, and that we would be able to make it through times of difficulty and strain. Father, particularly for anybody in this room who right now is at the bottom, at the end of themselves, Father, I just want to commit them to you. And Lord, I pray that beyond what I've said, you remind them that you're right there with them and that you know what they're going through. Help them to understand what that means and get them out of that ditch, I pray, Lord. May we all be a joyous people, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to stand and sing one final song.